This is Happiness Solved with America's happiness coach, Sandy Scarlatta.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today. I'm so happy you're here. Happiness Solved is the place where we explore everything you need to become the best possible version of you. This is Sandy Scarlatta, and today I've got some exciting news for our dedicated listeners. We've just launched our exclusive members-only portal. This is your ticket to a world of additional content designed to deepen your understanding and engagement with the Happiness Solved mission. To learn more about all of the exciting benefits, stay tuned until the end of the episode where I will explain in greater detail. For those interested now, head over to happinesssolved.supercast.com. Today is another amazing conversation, so let's get started. John and Will, so excited to have both of you on today. How's it going?
It's going great. We're so excited to be here. We've been looking forward to this for quite a while.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Yeah, thank you for this opportunity, Sandy. I love having, you know, anytime we can have a conversation about men and mindfulness and how it can help, we're here.
Yeah, I love it. I love this conversation because I've always had men in my life. I had three older brothers. I have one son. Always have male dogs for some reason. So I feel like I'm always surrounded by men and they never want to talk about it. So for the audience, John McEskill and Will Schneider are co-hosts of the amazing podcast, Men Talking Mindfulness. So before we jump into all things mindset, how about if you each just give an introduction? Because you both have, what I found was interesting when I was introduced to you guys through the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network, which we're all a member of. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really interesting just because you have very, very different backgrounds. So each of you just give your brief bio, if you will, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I think that's part of the appeal of the show. It's like, you know, John, he's like the American Gladiator, Navy SEAL, like, you know, talk about like the epitome of like masculine, right? And then like, you know, and then we say I'm the hippie from New York, and I don't feel like I'm a hippie. I do live in New York City. You know, I've been practicing and teaching yoga and mindfulness and meditation. I really got on the journey in like 2007. So it's been several years. I've taken it, you know, it's amazing to have this podcast with John because it allows me to, you know, instead of just having that, you know, 1 hour window where I teach a class or I have an opportunity to teach like a workshop or something like that, like the podcast gives us a weekly opportunity to talk and spread the love of, you know, mindfulness far and wide. I mean, and also globally. You know, I trained last year. I got like, I wanted to go a little bit deeper into, you know, deeper into the mindfulness realm. And I studied compassion and at Stanford University, which I got a certificate for. It's just a nonstop journey. And it's just, I love having this opportunity. And it's like really, it's a deep, deep passion of mine. It's something I work on every day, something I'm waking up and, you know, either developing a new class or just new content or, you know, sorting out my mind so we can have a more effective conversation on the podcast. So, yeah, I love I'm very happy where my life is right now. Honestly, it feels good.
Yeah. And Sandy, I'll tell you at first glance, I think, you know, it appears that Will and I are completely different, but yeah. When we get together, we're definitely cut from similar cloths. Yeah. I think there's a heart of service there in both of us, and that's one of the reasons we do the show. Certainly not to make millions of dollars, because as most of your listeners who are podcasters know, there's not a ton of money in podcasting unless you're, you know, Joe Rogan or Sandy, or unless you're Sandy.
Yeah, Sandy's doing well. Yeah.
Right. You're doing well. And we're trying to follow in your footsteps. But yeah, you know, a little bit about me. I am a retired Navy SEAL. I served in the SEAL teams for 17 years and in the Navy for 24. And I struggled with anxiety and stress, moral injury, operator syndrome, these things that come with going to battle. And I finally got introduced to mindfulness and meditation through a counselor, and I laughed at him first when he told me, hey, I want you to try mindfulness meditation. I laughed at him. And then he told me that it was going to help to change my performance. So long story short, I finally got into it for all the, what I think are kind of wrong reasons. And finally, by getting into that for the wrong reasons, if you will, I got help with the right reasons. It helped. Yes, it did help me to perform better, but it also helped me to manage the stress, manage the anxiety, manage some of the mental health challenges that I was experiencing. And it changed my life for the better. But also, what I like to say is that it quite literally saved my life. And it's given me a new purpose, a new mission, duty, and an obligation to share mindfulness and meditation with anyone and everyone who will listen. So I love that I have a friend and a brother in Will that we can share this mission together and pay it forward.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Well, first of all, thank you for your service.
Thank you,
that's really incredible. And the Navy SEAL, you know, you just can't even imagine what that is like. Most people could never even make it through, right? And I'm sure there's plenty of those that don't. So a couple of things. One, well, I got into meditation in 2007. So maybe there was something with the stars being aligned or something during that year, because that's when I took a meditation course. And I was like, you're crazy. For me to sit, I am so type A. I have friends that call me a thoroughbred, because I'm like a thoroughbred. And I just keep going. I'm like the Energizer Bunny. And it was life-changing. And what I was also thinking, John, when you were talking about like you were, you know, doing it for the wrong reasons, what came up for me was fake it till you make it. And sometimes you have to do that, right?
Right.
Because I know for me in 1990, when I hit rock bottom from drug abuse, I didn't want to stop using drugs. I loved it. I was using cocaine. People know that. Anybody who's used cocaine, they put it in Coca-Cola for a reason, right? It was like the greatest thing ever. And I didn't want to stop, but I had to, and I did it, and it saved my life.
Mm.
And I faked it. I stopped using it, but it was like, okay, I got this. And it was hard. It was hard. But like, sometimes you do have to just, you go along because, you know, you know at some point in your consciousness that it's the right thing to do. And it does. And that's what people fail to recognize with meditation. And that when you really learn it, I mean, guys, I can sit there and just recite a mantra. I'm looking for a book that I'm currently using right now. And I love this Violet Flame.
Oh, nice.
And it's this incredible mantra, but I can just say any of they call it a decree. I can say it and instantly I feel the numbing sensation coming through my body. It's in the head. It's like up here. And I'm able to tap into that frequency like that very, very, amazing. Very quickly. And when you can do that, it's the best drug ever. Once I, you know, so I went from 1990 when I quit using drugs to 2007 when I learned how to meditate, all of those years. And that was the best high you can ever get. Ever. There's nothing that comes even close.
Yeah, it's pretty wild what you can do with your own body and mind, and the things that you can tap into spiritually, physically, metaphysically, just through meditation and the breathing exercises that are related to mindfulness and meditation. It is incredible.
Yeah, for sure. So how did you guys meet? Because you don't live near each other, right? I know, John, you're in New York. And John, where are you?
Yeah.
Colorado Springs.
You're Colorado. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's like, you know, I don't know what it is. Like, I was thinking, because I figured we're going to get that question asked again. How do we meet? You know? and, you know, I don't know. Like, I guess, you know, they call, say, twin flames, right? John and I have this passion for what we're doing. And, you know, it just happened to be, you know, in the conduit there, the, you know, that brought us together was a friend that we both have in common and, or someone that I know more. And he, like, he was more of a kind of a digital acquaintance for John. And he just introduced us back in, I think it was like, you know, June, May, 2019. And we just started having weekly conversation or monthly conversations just about, hey, you know, about mindfulness, about how we're doing. And, you know, John is a little newer to the space, having, you know, served in the military for 24 years. And, you know, I've been working at the, in that space for already over a decade, and that conversation turned into the show. You know,
yeah,
it just happened.
You know, the pandemic hit.
Yeah,
and Will, he as a yoga teacher, he had to pivot, obviously. Yeah. And he started doing some Instagram lives, and I saw what he was doing. I was like, this is interesting. What, you know, what is Instagram live? What is Will doing? I saw you had a decent following. I was like, hey, Will, you know, I know we have these phone calls every month where we discuss mindfulness and meditation, our new insights that we've had, new challenges, new practices. Yeah. And I thought, you know, what if we had these phone calls via Instagram live? And, you know, if any of your listeners go back and listen to our first few episodes, Sandy, because we ended up ripping them from Instagram Live, where we were literally just holding phones in front of our faces, having these conversations. I mean, Will was downtown New York City during the pandemic one time. It was so eerie. It looked like the zombie apocalypse, like nobody was out. And we had these conversations like all over the place. I tapped into the Wi-Fi outside of Starbucks one time in my car, and my phone overheated, and poor Will was stuck there running the show by himself. So we've definitely come a long way, but we have a lot of fun with it. We've got a lot of growth. The show kind of, in a weird way, holds us accountable to our own practice. Because, you know, there's definitely times when I'm like, man, I don't have enough time to meditate. I don't have enough time to be mindful. But, oh, wait, I run a show called Men Talking Mindfulness. Maybe I should do it, right?
Yeah.
So it Will holds me accountable, and the show holds me accountable. And and I think that our community has grown from that. And we've had people reach out to us on regular basis that say, you know, the show that they heard today is exactly what they needed to hear. Because yes, the show is called Men Talking Mindfulness, but it's not just about meditation and mindfulness. It is about anything related to mindfulness. And if you really think about it, everything can be related to mindfulness. How you eat, how you drink, how you sleep, how you have relationships with your friends, your family, your loved ones. Yeah. It's about everything. And the reason it's called Men Talking Mindfulness, it originally started with literally just two men talking about mindfulness, hence the name. But we've kind of morphed into a show geared mostly toward men, but about 30% of our listeners are women.
Yeah.
Because what we like to say is that the show is for men and those with men in their lives. So, you know, some people need to understand where men are coming from. And some of our shows are literally about women's lives, because guess what? Men need to understand where women are coming from.
And I feel like our biggest beneficiaries are the women that actually listen, right? Like, it's like, let's get into the mind of a man for a moment.
Explain why we're so
we're so fucked up and, like, you know. Yeah. But it's been a blast, Sandy. It's really, and we're like in our fourth year. We're, you know, closing our eighth season in the next few weeks, and it's just been such an honor to, and a joy to grow this.
Oh, I love it. Mm-hmm. And thank you just for being a man and stepping up to the plate.
Thanks.
And being like, you know, let's have this conversation, because it's okay to talk about your feelings.
Yeah.
And well, and it brings me back to, because you were saying, John, you were talking about how everything is mindfulness. Everything is mindset. And, you know, Will, we had a podcast or mastermind call earlier, and I was talking about sponsorship. And this will be my first episode today where I can talk about, you know, my brand partner, which is Hotworks. And that was the thing with me working with Hotworks. It's because, you know, the whole mind, body, spirit, and it's great, you know, when you're focusing on your body, and that's ties into your spirituality, but mindset is everything. And it's about marrying the mind, body, spirit and having all three of them all together, because it really does require more than just thinking positive, right?
Yeah.
Because so many people are like, oh, let's just think positive. Well, yeah, you can think positive all you want, right?
Yeah, you got positivity, saying things that are positive. Yes, I think that can help. But at some point, you can also reach a level of toxic positivity where you just come in and you fake it. yes, we talked about faking it until you make it, but I think that can also, you set yourself up, you set your organization up, you set your team up for failure if you continually just wear this bright and shiny face when things are going wrong, when things are going sideways. You have to address them. You have to address the proverbial elephant in the room and say, you know what? How do we get through this, right? How do we get outside of this? How do we get over it? And as Will always says, the only way out is through. And so you have to address it and get past that toxic positivity.
Yeah. Yeah. And mindfulness is a bunch of tools too. I mean, it's a bunch of self-mastery tools, really. Like, I get to know myself in all of my glory, whether it's like, you know, my rage and anger and frustration and overwhelm, but also like what brings me joy and happiness and peacefulness and contentness and harmony. And I'm so glad that, and I'm not surprised that mindfulness is on the rise and all these different practices, whether it's meditation, breath work, and, you know, just other, you know, ways deeper into self-mastery as society seems to be becoming more chaotic. It's like the counterbalance, you know, to the chaos and to the attention economy that's continually trying to, like, you know, pull us into buying more shit that we don't need, like or just like doing things that aren't productive for myself or anybody else in society. Like, whereas, like, if I can take with mindfulness and meditation and owning these practices and doing these practices every day, I take ownership of my time, ownership of my energy, ownership of, like, the things that I'm doing, and you know, kind of measure that against, like, what really matters to me. And if you haven't, you know, a lot of men that come to our podcast, a lot of people that I know, you know, they've kind of been, and I lived this way for a long time, and I'm glad that I kind of shook loose of the, you know, the, you know, enjoy life after you're retired matrix, if you will. You know, it's like you can have, you know, you can live a life of passion, you can live a life of more harmony, you can live a life of more peace, even if you're kind of working in, you know, whatever kind of job that you're doing. But it takes practice, it takes time, it's not something that just happens overnight. You know, I'm always, you know, I've been, how many years I've been doing this, like 17 years, like I've been journaling since 22 years. I've been, like, literally kind of cracking the code of who's Will Schneider. And I've still, you know, I still struggle, but that's not the point. It's like, that's just humanity. That's just part of what is part of the human experience, but it's just like, how am I showing up? And then I can take ownership of every day a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Yeah.
I love that. And yeah, John, you're right. Fake it till you make it only goes so far. And at some point you do have to actually, you know, look in the mirror and take responsibility, like you were saying, Will, you know, be accountable for your actions.
Right.
And that's really hard. So what are some of the things that you all talk about that any of the men that are listening, or the women who have men in their lives that want to help them, what are some of the tools that you can offer other men to really feel that? Because it's not easy. It sucks. Because, like, you know, you say go through it, right? You can go around it, you can go over it, you can go under it. But until you go through it, you're not going to get to the other side. And I always like to say this, the happiest people on the planet are those that experience the full range of emotions. And so it's okay to be angry. It's okay to get frustrated.
Yeah. Right?
All of those emotions are fine. It's okay. It's healthy. It's normal.
Right. And incidentally, we literally just wrapped up an interview speaking about anger. And one of the questions by one of the guests on the show was, are we talking about suppressing anger? Because isn't anger one of the, you know, one of the emotions that we feel? And we've done episodes on that on our show. And, you know, some of the ways that men look at emotions, we address, we talk about the fact that really there's only a few emotions that were at one point only acceptable for men, right? That, like, you can only be angry, or you can only crack a smile every once in a while. Men can't cry. Men can't be vulnerable. Men, at least that's what society was telling us, right? But, you know, Brené Brown, I'm a huge Brené Brown fan. Expressing vulnerability, that's actually a sign of strength. And it takes a lot to drop that armor, drop that shield, take off that mask and say, look, this is me. naked, not literally, but you know, metaphorically, this is us, and this is what we look like. This is how we feel. This is us as a human being. So we've done episodes on expressing vulnerability. Will is a compassion ambassador from Stanford. We've both got, you know, certified in mindfulness to teach the breath work and the practices. But yeah, you know, we talk about eating right, because if you eat a whole lot of crap, then you're going to feel like crap. Like we've had Dr. Uma Naidu come on, who is a nutritional psychologist. She talks about how the food you eat literally affects your brain. And then that changes your mood. It changes the way that you respond versus react. We've had experts come in and talk about the way that we breathe. We breathe, you know, we should be breathing diaphragmatically and ideally through our nose more, and what that does. Like, I know that sounds weird, but as you breathe through your nose more, you actually change your pH in your blood. You change your heart rate variability. We've had all these guests on that talked about all these kind of quote unquote weird aspects of mindfulness. But I tell you, when you start talking about everything that affects the mind, the body, the spirit, everything does affect the mind, body, and spirit. So that's what we talk about on the show. And men need to know that. Men, I think, are all too often beating our chests and saying, hey, we've got this, we've got this. And that's one of the things that we also talk about on the show, is leaning on your brothers, like having a support network, being able to ask for help. I mean, Will did an episode and just recently did a little short snippet on Instagram about playfulness. And as a man, it's hard to be playful. I've got kids, and there's times I'm like, I will not play. I'm this retired Navy SEAL commander. But then I'm like, you know what? It's fun to play. And not only is it fun to play, but it's good for me, and it's good for us, and it's good for the relationship there. So we literally talk about just about anything on the show. The name is kind of a misnomer. It should just be men talking about everything.
Well, I think one thing, you know, like people ask, like, where do I start? And it's like, what does it take to get the calm? Like, that's where it begins. That's the first, you want to, like, stand at the tunnel before you walk through the tunnel, in order to put yourself in front of that tunnel. And that tunnel can be long and ugly, and it could be very challenging, but get the calm, you know, breathing, getting to calm the breathing. What about reducing inflammation, like from the food that you're taking or things that you're doing? Or what about the lack of exercise that you're not doing that's creating, you know, more of all sorts of systematic problems, you know, from head to toe, from body to mind? And it's just like, get to calm. And once you get to calm, you get to that clarity, and all of a sudden you start to kind of release from that fog of distress, and you can see, like, oh, wait, like, this might be what I need to do next. This is what I need next. But it's just getting to calm first. And that's just like, it's the key that unlocks all of this opportunity to be more mindful and live a happier life.
I'm glad you brought up food, because that is such a huge thing. And for anybody who, like, who drinks too much soda or energy drinks, right? Things like that. Sugar. If they would just stop taking them, it would be amazing just how it's no different than, you know, you go on vacation and you're drinking on vacation, and you come home and you're like, okay, I'm going to detox. And then all of a sudden you're like, wow, like, amazing. Yeah. Like, how much clarity you have.
Right.
And, you know, sugar will do that, because it's very addictive. The sugar, too much caffeine. Yeah. Anything that's inflammatory. Right. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, and then, you know, what that does to our minds, but also, you know, what that does to our sleep. And, you know, sleep, we've had multiple sleep scientists come on, and then we work with the sleep scientists, and we learn something new regularly about the value of sleep, but also what affects it. You know, caffeine, you know, after 10 a.m., if you're planning on having a good night's rest, having any caffeine after 10 a.m., it's going to affect your night. It's going to affect your sleep. And you may not feel it, but you're not going to get into the deep stages of sleep that you need, the REM sleep that you need. And then that's going to carry forward into your next day. And you're going to start to feel anxious. You're going to start to feel tired. So what do? You drink more caffeine. And it's just this compounding effect. But I've started to limit my caffeine to before 9 a.m. And that's, I tell you, that's changed my sleep big time. And then that changes how I react. Now I respond I mean, yes, I'm still a mindfulness practitioner, and that's been hugely helpful.
Right,
I tell you, getting enough sleep, it's been a game changer.
Total game. I mean, I call myself the sleep queen. Everything I do revolves around sleep. And, you know, we were just on the call. What was I saying? No, I don't want to get off of a call at 10 o'clock at night because it messes with my sleep.
Right.
Right.
We were just talking about that earlier today. Well, I think you had already left and we were talking about it. I was like, I do not want to do a 9 o'clock call at night because by 10 o'clock at night, because I'm on the East Coast, it takes me at least 2 hours to get to, and that's too much.
Right.
And I've heard these macho guys, oh, sleep is overrated.
I'll sleep when I'm dead.
I'll sleep when I'm dead. I'm like, really? Because you're giving yourself, you're losing life.
You're losing testosterone.
It's life expectancy, right?
Yeah, your longevity is affected. You're losing as a man. I mean, both as men and women, you're losing testosterone. You know, but that's something that men need a lot of, and
so do women.
Yes, absolutely. And you're severing the tie between your amygdala and your prefrontal cortex, so you are literally more reactive.
Right.
So yeah, we could do a whole episode on sleep, but I'll leave it there.
I mean, yeah, all that macho stuff. I mean, I think, you know, honestly, you know, when you're something about being a young man and I guess having all this testosterone, like it you know, brings more resilience and we're able to do more things and we have more energy. But I mean, never, anybody's listening, do not stop sacrificing your sleep. It is the biggest asset you can do for your entire experience, for your body, for your mind, for your relationships, for what you're passionate about, for innovation, for your creativity. It is a pillar. I mean, there's a reason we get tired, you know, and we need to sleep 7 to 8 hours every night, and honor our biology instead of trying to, induce our biology by drinking caffeine to wake up and then, you know, having alcohol at night to go to sleep. I mean, it's just not. And I'll tell you what, really, one thing that's really helped, I think it's really enhanced the show so much, is we use a Whoop. So we have a tracker, right? We have something that tracks our vitals all the time. There it is, right? And I get to see with this thing, this Whoop. I mean, there's other ones, Aura Rings, and there's other ones out there, and we're not getting paid yet from Whoop, but I love their product. Not yet. We love their product because I get to see how I sleep, the quality of my sleep every night. And then I get to determine as I, you know, move through my day, it's like what it enhanced my quality of sleep or what deteriorated my quality of sleep. Because and then we go deeper into the science of sleep. It's like what it does for the body, what it does for the mind, what it does for you when you wake up the next day. I mean, it's so, just even being mindful of that, if anybody's listening, just start taking care of your sleep, or just trying to get a couple of better night's sleep every night. You just watch the difference, and maybe cut out the sugar at the same time. And that's not helping your sleep either. But there's so many little things you can do to just create more of that clarity. And it's what's amazing, Sandy, when you have that, when you begin to experience that clarity and begin to know that you have the ability to create that clarity in your life, you're gonna want more of it. Because there's something in that space of clarity which really gets us into something, you know, the self, self-energy, self-leadership, that's when really we become this incredible human being that can what can't we do is kind of my question now, instead of being like, how do I get out of my own way, you know?
Yeah. I like to call it getting into your zone of genius.
Yeah, right? You go. Exactly.
And when you have that clarity and you can, you know, because we all have things that happen in life, and anxiety is going to happen. And, you know, my gosh, almost every day there's some sort of situation that comes across my plate where I have a choice. I can choose to, you know, stay in consciousness, or I have a choice to react in a way that's not productive for anyone, mostly for myself. And when you can break it down, it's just simply, it comes down to that. We all have a choice, you know, and starting your day in mindfulness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, starting your day in mindfulness, I hear all the time that I don't have time to meditate, or I don't have time to be mindful. And one of the first questions I ask is, how do you wake up? And people are like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, do you use your phone to wake up? Do you use your phone as your alarm clock? Yes. Okay, well, after hitting that alarm clock, stopping that alarm clock, maybe hitting snooze a few times, then what do? Well, I check my email. I check my social media. I check my text messages. I check my bank accounts. And then I get out of bed. I'm like, okay, well, there's your time right there.
That's right.
There's your time. You've spent 15, 20, 30 minutes in bed, putting yourself into a reactive state of mind before you even get out of the bed, and you've given up 30 minutes that you could have used to put yourself into a better state of mind, into a responsive state of mind, into a more calm state of mind. So we have time. We just have to find it. And I don't say make it. I don't say make it. We don't have to make time. We just have to find it because it's there.
Yeah.
Just choose it.
Choose it. Yeah, there you go. I like that.
And some people with meditation, and it's like, oh, I can't sit still, so I can't meditate. Well, that's where your meditation starts.
Yeah.
Like, that's where calm begins, is trying to get rid of the agitation, just sitting still for a little bit of time. Like, we're running this meditation course right now, and we have people that have been meditating for years in this course, and people that have literally never done this work before. And it's like, and these are the things that are coming up. And it's fascinating, because I mean, I love these students, all regardless of where they are in their path with meditation. But to hear from the younger students being like, oh my God, I'm so agitated, or like, my mind won't shut down. It's like, well, you know, like, get to calm, you know, and it's a tool. All these things, you know, so many of these things are just to get to that clarity, get to that calm, you know, and get to who you are.
And it's a practice.
Yeah,
meditation. Exactly. Meditation's a practice. Everything's, I mean, that's why they say with lawyers, they're practicing law. Doctors are practicing medicine. Yes. I practice happiness. Happiness is a practice. Mindfulness is a practice.
Right.
And like getting into that routine, you know, like I've now have this routine where I'll get the coffee. I sit down on a recliner. I cover up with a blanket because I'm always cold. And I will read my mantra and do deep breathing. And I'm like, okay. And then I put it down, and then I'm like, okay. And then I'll have my coffee, and I usually turn on the tennis channel, and I, you know, there's something. And then I start my day, but it's so simple because I'm going to sit and drink my coffee anyway. You might as well let it sit. And we're talking 2 to 3 minutes of my morning. That's it.
Right. And you know, you're talking about that practice. Yeah. There's definitely practices there, but like even integrating these practices into things that we're doing already every day, maybe making your coffee, you ritualize that routine, right? You grind the beans, maybe make it, you know, I know coffee is something that's almost necessary for some of us. And we go and we put that Keurig pot in, and within like 3 seconds, we have a cup of coffee. Maybe make it intentionally longer, make it where you are grinding the beans, and you smell the beans grinding, and you put them into the coffee, and maybe it's a French press, and there's an effort there, right? But you smell it, you pay attention to it, you ritualize it. If coffee isn't your thing, one of the things that I always like to tell people to do is turn brushing your teeth. We all hopefully brush our teeth. Yeah. So, you know, turn that into the practice, like actually pay attention to the taste of the toothpaste, pay attention to the feelings of the bristles of the brush on your teeth. And, you know, turn that 2-3 minutes that you're brushing your teeth into a mindfulness exercise. You can find ways to be mindful through your day, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a meditation. We encourage meditation, obviously, because as you meditate, you can be more mindful. And as you become more mindful, meditation becomes easier. But it is not necessarily something that you have to add onto your already full schedule. Integrate it. Find ways to integrate it.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. And I just want to throw out there for all the men, because I know men, you know, are, you know, primarily, and I don't mean to stereotype anybody, but, you know, it's historically the men are the breadwinners. It's kind of like, that's part of their identity, you know, making the money and this and that. So I just want to remind all of you men out there and women, because this goes both ways. Did you know that if you talk to any of the top successful people in the world, the billionaires, the multi-millionaires, anybody who's anybody that's out there that's making a shit ton of money, practice mindfulness and meditation.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's how they get their life to that next level.
That's so right.
So just saying, you can either push it aside or you can like embrace it. It's not that complicated. I mean, it's so easy.
Yeah, you don't like stumble yourself into success.
No.
I mean, there may be that one freaking person that does, right? I mean, or gets lucky or gets discovered, but that's not even worth it. But like, you need to, in order to really be successful in anything you want to do, you need to be very strategic. In order to be strategic, you need to like really take some time and really be with whatever the innovation you're trying to do or the problem you're trying to solve. But in order to be that person to solve that problem, you got to be of your best self. And how do you do that? You know, I mean, yes, you can go to school and get a wonderful education, but that's only like a third, a quarter of the tools that you need in order to be successful. Like, you know, we're human beings with a human experience, and life is going to be throwing you curveballs, like we said over and over and over again. How do you deal with those things? How do you manage your emotions? Because if you're letting your emotions like rage or anger or frustration, overwhelm run the show, you're not going to be able to take that next successful step that's going to help move your business forward.
Like those successful people too, we talk about mindfulness helping with stress.
Yeah.
Well, mindfulness can not only get you to be successful, but it can also enable you to handle the success, right?
Yes.
Along with the success that we reach, we are probably going to have some stressors, additional stressors, right? More money, more problems, right? We've all heard that. More money, more problems.
Exactly what's going on
well,
right now.
Yeah. As you get more money, you're going to have more stress
right.
in a different way. But now, because you're successful and you used mindfulness to heal and excel, is what I always say. I teach mindfulness and meditation because it helped me to heal and excel. Now you're going to continue to heal and excel in your new success, right? You're living under the burden of blessings, but that those blessings can be burdens. So that mindfulness and meditation can handle that or help you to handle it.
Right.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. All right, we're running out of time here. I want to hear some golden nuggets from each of you for any of the listeners out there. What are some of the top practices to help people make that shift and integrate it into their day? I know you talked about the coffee, but what are some other ideas that you can give people? Because I think those are really practical things that people can do.
Yeah,
get in your body is like, because one thing that the tech, you know, or this technological infiltration attack on our society and our minds and our world and our relationships, like it keeps us sitting. You know, we're sitting, we're hunching, right? But not only are we sitting and hunching, which it has awful effects on our mind and our body and in so many different ways. But then also the technology interface, the blue light and, but also what we're consuming, the content we're consuming, which usually just creates a lot more stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of FOMO, detach from your technology and go out in nature, go out for a walk, get the blood pumping a little bit more and watch. And that's just a great way to reset the body, you know, and just kind of let go of, the stress of the day, or maybe help you work through, you know, deeper levels of stress as you continue to work out. But like one thing I see a lot of people, I'm looking at what our society is almost 50% obese at this point. Like that's a lot of lazy people out there. And I'm sorry to, you know, say it like that, but like, you know, how else you get fat like that? You know, I mean, it's just facts, you know, I mean, so get in your body and watch how that helps you. And if you just put it on your calendar, like I'm going to walk like 5 days a week, you know, X amount number of miles every day, or, you know, and everyone has the ability to walk. I mean, if you can't walk, then find another way to exercise, but get in your body and watch, even just making that commitment, and make it a commitment, you know, make it like, cause you're worth it. Like you got to let yourself know that you're worth all this effort. And then start taking that, literally that first step, to get more physical. John, what do you got?
Love it.
I would say, you know, making yourself a priority. I think a lot of people are guilty of taking care of their families first, taking care of their teams first, taking care of everybody before they take care of themselves. So I want to come back to your obese comment, Will. I think there are people who are obese who are not lazy, but their priorities might not be where they want them to be. They are prioritizing their family, they're prioritizing their team, they're prioritizing everything over themselves, and they're not giving themselves the time to meditate, to take care of themselves. So coming back to practicality, like practical things that you can do, there's ways that you can turn off the distractions on your phone. There's ways that you can turn, you know, set timers on specific apps. There's all these things that you can do so that you can be more present, because that's what mindfulness is. It's being present. As far as exercises, you can do something as simple as a box breath, which is breathing in for a count of four, holding for a count of four, breathing out for a count of four, holding for a count of four. And if you're listening to the podcast and not watching it, I just drew a box where each one of those is an edge of the box. And you do that four or five times. That can help to reset your nervous system. Will and I are both big fans of Wim Hof. Wim Hof does what's called the fire, the breath of fire, which is a great practice. You can just look it up on YouTube. And it's also great to listen to his voice and his accent. But he runs you through this very intense breathing exercise. That's not an exercise to calm down. That's actually an exercise to put you into what's called eustress, so that you get used to handling stress on your body, so that it's not just a shock to your system when you get stress from wherever else it is. So Wim Hof, the breath of fire, those are some good practical exercises that are out there. But bottom line, you have to prioritize yourself, and then you have to be consistent. Just like going to the gym, you don't miraculously turn into this bodybuilder by going to the gym one time. We don't turn into a super mindfulness meditation practitioner, not that any of us are that, but you don't really start to feel the effects until you are consistent. Consistency is key. Prioritization is key.
Yeah. And just to add to that, you know, I've been doing this work for 34 years, and you know, I there's multiple times where I get to the point, I'm like, am I done? Can I just be done?
Right.
No.
Never arrive.
I want to arrive. I want to be done with it.
It's the journey, not the destination, right? Exactly. It's like always a journey. It's a practice, not a performance.
That's right. And totally. And it's worth it. And at the, you know, we only have that one shot here. So
yeah.
Everybody, get out there, look at your podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast. You got to check out Men Talking Mindfulness. It's not just for men, it's for women who have men in their life, and most women have men in their life in some capacity. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining me today. And
thank you, Sandy.
Check them out, and their information will be in the show notes as well. So thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation, and as promised, I'd like to give you more details of what you can expect as a member of the Happiness Solved exclusive community. First, you'll have access to a treasure trove of extra podcast episodes. These episodes dive deeper into the topics we discuss, featuring additional expert interviews only found here. But that's not all. As a member, you'll also get access to a series of mindset training sessions. These recordings are tailored to help you understand the how and why your mindset is the most important asset you have, empowering you to achieve your personal and professional goals. And for those of you looking to find a moment of peace in your busy lives, we've got something special. Exclusive guided meditations. These sessions are crafted to help you relax, refocus, and recharge. Whether you're a meditation guru or just starting out, there's something here for everyone. Becoming a member is more than just accessing extra content. It's about joining a community of like-minded individuals, all on a journey to live life to its fullest and become the best possible version of you. So how can you join? It's simple. Go to happinesssolved.supercast.com and sign up. Don't miss out on this opportunity to deepen your journey with us. Again, that's happinesssolved.supercast.com. And it will also be in the show notes. I am so grateful you're a part of our Happiness Solved family, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your continued support. Again, I am so grateful for you, and I hope that you and your family are healthy and safe, and that your lives are filled with peace,
joy and happiness. Take care, everyone.